Hey, sale pros, if you're looking to grow in your sales career or you simply enjoy lively sales discussions, we're here for you.
Hi, I'm Tom Bloomer. I've spent over 30 years walking the walk. I've knocked on the doors and overcome the same obstacles you're facing as a seller, sales manager, leader, and VP of sales. I currently assess, build, and train high-performing media sales teams. Let's roll up our sleeves together.
So enjoy listening to Tom and his guests talk sales. Okay, Tom, who's our boomer on today?
Kel, I'm really excited because we have an actual boomer today.
Really? Somebody older and more experienced than you?
Well, I don't know about older, but he is more experienced. And I got to tell you how excited I was. I discovered Ike Krieger. He's okay. Today's guest. I discovered him by accident on LinkedIn. And I got so excited because he hosts a podcast. His podcast is called Close the Deal Without Selling. And I found it very intriguing. I went to listen. And I didn't stop for about 3 hours. I just kept listening and listening. And you know, I got to ask you, Kelly.
Yes.
Do you like to be sold to?
Not really. Like a car salesman type of a sale type of a thing?
Yeah, any kind of salesy type thing. Do you like that?
Are they intimidating?
Well, possibly, yeah.
Then probably not.
Let me ask you, do you like going to the doctor?
No, but they're nice to me there.
What, do you find them more trustable? Do you find them salesy?
Not salesy, but I do trust them.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. Very interesting. We're going to be talking about that with our guest today. And, you know, Ike is going to show us how to make objections disappear and turn our contacts into contracts, Kelly.
Ah.
It's going to be exciting.
Gotcha. So less intimidating, more fun.
Yeah. And less painful, but kind of like going to the doctor.
Interesting way to put it, Tom. Let's listen to the show.
Hey, it's Larry Long Jr. from Durham, North Carolina. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
All right, so we are here today with Ike Krieger. Ike, so many concepts that I want to get to today. After listening to your podcast, watching your content that you share on LinkedIn, and seeing what you've done over the last, is it okay for me to say about 40 years in sales?
Yeah. I'm no chick anymore.
You know, it's a pleasure for me because, you know, on OK Boomer, I'm usually the resident boomer. So it's nice to talk to somebody that has been doing it even longer than I have. So I'm excited.
Guilty.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be a lot of fun. I have the feeling that you and I could probably do this every week and still not run out of material. So we'll cover as much as we can in today's show. But your podcast, I've really enjoyed. Once I started with the first when did you do your very first episode? How long ago?
It was in July of 2019.
2019. Okay. And, you know, I it was one of those things, you know, how people love to binge watch nowadays on Netflix and all these streaming services. I hit your first episode, and right now I probably follow about 3 dozen sales podcasters. You know, I'm always looking for ideas and what's the latest and who are good guests. Yours was the first that I then had to binge. I had to go through about 8 or 9 in a row because you were talking about something that just really hit me at home that so many sellers just are not doing. They make the job so much more difficult than I think it has to be. But your podcast is called Close the Deal Without Selling. Tell us a little bit about that and if you can give our listeners your story.
Well, most of us do not like to be sold to. We really don't like to be convinced or influenced about anything. And that's the way most of us were taught to sell, that it was convincing and influencing and show and tell. And all you really have to do is just, I use the term dredge up the feeling you have when somebody sells to you that way. How do you feel? So after teaching the traditional way to sell, which I'm a big fan of, the traditional way to sell works. You just have to work so hard to make it work. And your results are usually random and inconsistent, because, you know, you close a sale, you get a signed agreement, and then you go to your next appointment or interview and you do it exactly the same way and you don't get the sale, and you walk out of there going, what did I do wrong? And the answer is nothing. I believe the system that you use was a setup for failure, that one size doesn't fit all. And although people can be very flexible, it's in the communication. So as a former communication instructor at The Ohio State University, I did my graduate work in communications theories and models. And just to put a finer point on it, I grew up as an actor and an entertainer, and I quit one quarter short of my master's to go into a road company of Jesus Christ Superstar, and my mother never forgave me. But I really had this firm foundation in communications, and when I became really tired of the traditional way to sell, I went back to the drawing board and took out all of the things that made me nuts about selling and created a model for communication that just happened to work beautifully in selling. You know, I said, I don't like objections. So I made sure objections disappeared from the model. I didn't like going in and doing show and tell, giving a presentation, even though you're being coached and prodded to get in there and, you know, build up that desire. I said, no. They have to qualify for my presentation. And I put this all together in the late 1980s and started teaching people, some of whom have been guests on the podcast, talking about the difference that this form of communication has produced in their business and in their life. So I'm very proud of it. And that's the background of it. It's been tested. It works. It's kind of backwards from what we all learned, but it really is an easier way to sell.
Very good. And it's one of the things I'm hoping that we can kind of show our listeners today. You mentioned most of them, they've learned a traditional way. Right? Or they learned whatever way their current company has taught them.
Correct.
The beautiful part about your program is everything they've been taught, keep. They can still use it, but yeah. You're going to show them some basic fundamentals to add to that that's going to get them that extra success. And so everything you show them today, it's that added spice to make what they're doing now a little bit more effective.
It's, you already know how to sell. I can't teach you how to sell, but you get frustrated and you get stressed out because no matter how hard you try, you know, you didn't come up with a close. You're beating yourself up and you really don't have to. There was a breakdown in communication. And I believe, I'm certain that this model removes the opportunity for that breakdown unless you're looking for it. So that's what this is all about. It's reducing the frustration and stress that people who go into appointments trying to get signed agreements and then don't get them, that frustration they feel. And this system, you know, my tagline is designed to turn your contacts into contracts more easily and more often. And that's what it does. It just increases your close ratio. It's not a 10 out of 10 thing. It's designed to work every time, and it doesn't, but it does produce a closed sale or a closed deal more often, for sure.
Absolutely. And I saw it with a lot of newer sales reps over the years, that they come out, they learn just enough, and they start having some success. Like you said, you go in, you do that first presentation, mm-hmm. and you walk out with an agreement. You're like, I got this. You know, I can do this.
This is easy.
Yeah, and they don't realize, well, you got lucky on that one. You know, you were able to show it. Maybe that particular client just knew the value of your product when you walked in. You didn't actually do anything special.
It was a meld. Their buying strategy fit your sales strategy. Plus, at the moment, they probably had a need or a desire for the product or service you were offering. But, you know, there's no sin in being lucky, but that's not a real good sales strategy. And that's where a lot of these people who are starting off in sales get frustrated. And I agree with you 100%.
They come out, they think they're going to light the world on fire. And then a few months down the road, they hit a brick wall. And it's like, well, what happened? You know, what am I not doing right? So let's jump right in. One of the things that I love the way you explain is you say, you know, think like a doctor, you know, and look at that. So can you explain that to everyone?
This is my favorite part. This is really the secret of the system, is if you look at the communication as if you were a doctor and your prospect as if they were a patient coming in, the first question you would probably ask is, okay, when you decided to see me today, what were you hoping I could do for you? The doctor does not launch into, now that I've got you, please let me give you a presentation and tell you about where I went to school and the organizational structure of my office and where we get our tools sterilized. Nobody cares about that. They're there to resolve an issue or a problem they have that they believe in their hearts a doctor can resolve. And it's the doctor's job to diagnose before they prescribe. And the challenge is most salespeople prescribe without diagnosing, because you've been told and trained and once again urged by your sales managers or your wife to just get out there and sell. So you go out there and you tell people where you get your tools sanitized and where you went to school, whereas your clients, your prospects, they don't care about that at all. And if they do, which they might, they will ask. What the ability to think like a doctor does is gives you, the salesperson, the opportunity to get valuable information rather than give it all the time. And if you ask the right questions, like a doctor would ask, good open-ended questions, and you truly listen with, as Covey says, an intent to understand rather than an intent to reply, you will get all the information from the person sitting across from you that will let you know, first of all, whether or not they're even someone whose services, you know, you can sell to them. They may not be qualified as a buyer to buy your product or service. And I believe you should find that out in the first 5 minutes.
Well, it's going to save you a lot of time and heartache, right?
Oh, yeah. If you're going to get a no, when do you want to get it? And yet, so many of us, myself included, you know, well, a no is just a request for information. You know, guys, sometimes a no means no. And it doesn't mean you can't maintain relationship and possibly check back in. Or as my friend Alex Goldfein says in 5 Minute Selling, get back to people and say, how are you? And by the way, did you know I'm doing this now? And pick up some more business from those warm markets, which a lot of people destroy because they come on so strong. So this is a way to be more professional, more like a doctor. And, you know, just, you know, what else have you tried? How long have you been dealing with this? Who else have you spoken to? How come you didn't work with them? If, you know, how important is it for you to take care of this right now? What else did you try? How did that work? Questions that a doctor would ask. And if you ask those type of questions and really be curious and neutral in your sales conversation, they will tell you everything you need to know. So at the appropriate point, they'll be saying, wow, I really like this, but you know, I haven't seen anything. We just had a conversation. You go, well, if you'd like, I do have a small presentation I can give you that I think will answer your questions. And then you use your presentation as your close, because by that time, you know exactly what it is that the challenge that the prospect is facing, you've identified it. So now when you're giving your presentation, it's no longer, and we do this, and we do this. It can be, here on page 7, you know what you were talking about before? let's check that out. Is this what you were hoping it would do? And they go, well, yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about. And you, great, what's our next step? And that's the whole sales process. That's why it's an easier way to sell. And you do have to learn it. So that's the one.
And a little bit of practice, right?
One, yeah. And, you know, I know most of us as adults, you know, we don't like change. So when it comes to learning something new, especially when it comes to your language, that's such a habit, it's a challenge. But, you know, if your outcome is to be more productive, make more money, be a more effective salesperson, I invite you to try this. And every time you go, just remember to maintain your outcome rather than your position, and just learn it and use it.
Yeah, no, it's so good. I would spend a lot of time trying to teach sellers that if you do your job correctly, you don't have to close the sale.
No.
And they would look at me like I had three heads. Like, yeah, okay, it's easy for you to say on that side of the desk, but you know, I got to close. You know, I got to sell. I got to do that. But when they go through your system and they do that like the doctor, they truly shouldn't have to spend much effort closing. The client is going to show you everything that you need to do to just put that agreement in front of them, or you're going to know quickly, you know what, let me move on because I don't have the right system.
And how many more closes per sales period do you need to be in that top percentage of the salespeople in your business? And you'll come to find that it's really not that many. And if I may, I have a sports analogy about that.
You're not going to tell us how proud you are of your Cleveland Browns right now, are you? Is it?
Oh, I grew up in the heydays of the Browns and Jim Brown and the last time they won a championship. But this is really fun after 25 or 30 years. But no, I'm going to move to baseball.
Okay.
This is a question I started asking in the early 1990s, and the answer at that time was $1 million. So the question now is, what's the difference between a 270 hitter in Major League Baseball and a 310 hitter in Major League Baseball? And now the answer is $5 million per season in average salary. But What is the actual difference between the two of them? If you're not familiar with baseball averages, a 270 hitter is someone who gets a safe hit 27% of the time. And someone who has a 310 batting average, they have a safe hit 31% of the time. So the difference between those two batters is 4 safe hits out of every 100 tries. And that earns them that extra gazillion dollars. And if you want to look at it in an even more phenomenally bizarre light, Major League Baseball owners are willing to pay a player who only fails 69 times out of every 100 tries $5 million more a year than someone who fails 73 times out of every 100 tries. So the shift that you need to make in your sales business, it's all you need to do is go incremental. If you're closing 2 out of 10 now, which is kind of like a national average. You listeners out there, I know you're doing better, but if you end up closing an extra one, just one more, you've increased your sales by 50%. I know that, but I only got one more. Yeah, I get it. But if you did that for a year, your business would have increased by 50%. And that's the type of difference that this system will make. You'll raise your business by 20 to 50% over the next 6 months, guaranteed, because it's a language thing that ends up being predictable. And that's what's nice about it. It's a system. When somebody asks you, how do you do that? You go, oh, okay, yeah, here I can show you. Or you can go listen. So...
And what I love too is it's great to get new business, right? It absolutely will help you close more new business. But I've seen the difference between a good seller and a great one, and sometimes is the value of the sale they make. You know, you can go out and if you're not doing this job the right way, you might make 10 sales. And let's say your average customer is $1,000, you know, purchase. if you walk through and you do the questions the way you're showing, that account, they may buy $40,000 from you instead of one. So a lot of it, I think, is you can just get tremendous more value out of each relationship you build when you find out exactly what all they can use and what they need from you.
Well, the big shift, I think, in having people be more productive, especially with the strange internal dialogue that we as salespeople carry around inside of our head. You know, I get a room filled with salespeople, or I did, and, you know, ask them what's the first word that comes to mind when I say salesman, and it's not very flattering. You know, you get used car, pushy, liar. No one goes, you know, the saving grace of our country. And my comment to them was, with your internal dialogue, as it is, it's amazing you sell anything at all. Mm-hmm. And so in putting together the system, I studied neuro-linguistics programming. And, you know, they talk about the difference between your present state and your desired state. As the challenge in your life. And it occurred to me that that's really what we're talking about here, that somebody is in their present state where they don't have what they want, and they have a desired state where they have what they want. And our job is to help them move from where they are to where they want to be. And the term that I came up with in the late 80s was problem solver. And that was, you know, you hear it all around now, but no one was talking about that. It was get to their pain, get to their pain. That was the big sales thing of the late 80s, early 90s. So as a problem solver, it shifts your mind. It's hard for some to wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to go out there and sell today. But if you wake up in the morning and go, okay, whose problem can I solve today? It's a different mindset. The question is, when you go out to sell or market your product, whose problem are you trying to solve? If you're trying to solve your own problem, you know, gosh, I got to make the rent. Gosh, I got to do X, Y, and Z. Your prospects can see that from a mile away. If you're there to solve their problem, and once you solve their problem, you get compensated for it. What happens to your problems? And that's the key to this, to be a problem solver and always ask yourself, okay, in my communication with this prospect, whose problem am I trying to solve? And as long as you can use that as your true north, I truly believe that sales will become less frustrating and people will tell you everything, including, nah, this just really isn't for me. And you thank them and move on to your next opportunity.
Yeah. And you know, that leads me to something else that I've seen you talk about. I really like, when somebody asked you, what do you do? You tell us not to tell them what you do, right? There's a reason for that. So why don't you explain that? Cause to me, it picks right up with what you were talking about there.
It's a language opportunity that you have to shift how people think about what it is that you tell them you do. If you tell them what you do, you are one in a million rather than one of the millions, because what you're usually telling them is what your competition would probably be saying at the same time. Like, oh yeah, I get people new roofs so that they can, you know, not deal with the, you know, the rain coming in, which is actually closer to how I tell people to do it. But I ask people to think of the issue that your client has and how badly they want it resolved. And what are they going through? Like someone with roofing, you know, I deal with people who are just going nuts because no matter what they do, the wind seems to howl through their roof and the rain keeps coming in, and we go in and just fix it all up. So you talk about the problem that you solve. And like mine is people, you know, professional salespeople get frustrated and stressed out when they're face-to-face appointments don't go the way that they had expected and end up not getting an agreement signed and using the easier way to sell. They can turn their contacts into contracts more easily and more often. And that's my whole elevator pitch. And, you know, do you know anybody in sales who might, you know, benefit from something like this? And they either go, well, I can, or I know someone, or they go, great, which is, once again, batting average.
Right. Yeah. And the more plate appearances we have, the more we're going to do. So if we're spending a lot of time on those, you know, if we're swinging at 40 pitches and striking out, boy, we've wasted a lot of time. So
it's the old Babe Ruth thing. You know, Babe Ruth had more home runs than anybody and he struck out more than anybody, or at least I think that's the case. And
that's the way I remember it.
Yeah. Well, what this does is makes your numbers game a little more predictable and a little more manageable. You can't control it. Can't control anything. But this is really a shift where, may I tell one quick story? Do we have time?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I think shifts the mindset of professional salespeople is moving away from being a salesperson and take on a different role, even one different than a problem solver. And I tell the story of what I call the two-seat car of life. You have the driver's seat and you have the passenger seat. And you have a prospect and you are going to go on a sales journey with the prospect in this two-seat car. Now, in which seat do you want to sit in, the driver's seat or the passenger seat for this journey?
My wife prefers me not to drive, but I think on this journey, I want to be the driver.
Exactly. Now, you look at the prospect and you put yourself in their shoes for a second. In what seat do they want to be in?
Well, they probably want to be the driver.
Yes.
Yeah, so you maybe have even one of those buttons where they can shoot me out if they need to.
Exactly. James Bond, and boom.
Eject.
And my coaching has been for years, give up the driver's seat and move to the passenger seat, because once you're in that role, you get an amazing power to serve as what? And that is a navigator. Because if this person knew where they were going or knew how to get there or wanted to get there on their own, they would have. But since they can't, don't know how to, or don't want to, they're looking for a trusted guide. And so give up control, you'll never get it anyway, and sit in the navigator's position and guide the prospect to their desired outcome. It's very different than, come on with me, let me drive along and I'm going to show you everything that you need in order to buy. It works, you know, some people go, ooh, 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 I like it, but it's too hard, it's stressful. And, you know, that to me is a really big shift. And these are challenges that, although they can be addressed, when you attempt to do them quickly or overnight, the minute you get in any type of control-based conversation in your mind in the middle of a conversation, you'll shift back to your old habits. That's why these practice and the exercises, especially, you know, I have a whole action guide that goes along with the podcast, and it has steps to take for each one of these, as well as an explanation of each of the concepts. And I urge everybody to do those exercises. So, you know, it's important all the way around.
Yeah, no, I love it. You have me thinking now, I get to be in that passenger seat, the trusted advisor, as opposed to the person that they're blaming for every wrong turn and everything that happens. And
pow.
Very, very powerful stuff. And just so everyone knows, hopefully they stick around to the end of the podcast. But if they don't, in the show notes is going to be information where they can reach out to you. And also, you have a lot of great free information, the guide and things that you provide and other stuff. So Hopefully they'll stick around to get all
that. If they go to the website, it's pretty self-explanatory. So that'll be fine. And lo and behold, it's close the deal without selling.com, you know? So
makes it nice and easy, right?
That's you know what's interesting, and I invite all of your listeners to consider whatever their business is to try and get whatever domains their URLs that are available that'll help promote their business. I actually ended up getting sellandmarketbetter.com, and you know that I was sure that wouldn't be available, and it was. So sometimes going fishing for a marketing asset is really a good idea.
Yeah. You never know for sure when you're going to need it. So that's good. I want to go to now, there was something you talk about in your yes formula, and we're not going to have time to cover everything, but there was one part I really enjoyed, and that's the word can. And you talk about three concepts that I don't see as much of today by a lot of sellers as I think they should be to make this work. So can you kind of walk our, to me, this is a great takeaway for everyone. If you can walk them through can and what those three components are.
Let's go back to the doctor. And when you look at doctors, in order for them to maintain their sanity and not get emotionally involved with every single patient, they have to remain neutral. They also, as a diagnostician, have to remain curious. And most of all, in their communication with another human being, especially one regarding an issue such as health, they need to be authentic. So what can, which is one of the five ingredients of the yes formula, which is nothing more than a reminder of the steps that you should follow when you use this system, can is telling you to remain curious, authentic, and neutral. Avoid becoming tied to your outcome. Remain a navigator. Remain a problem solver. Do your best to avoid taking anything personally. If it's going to be a no, you want to uncover it quickly rather than walking out and going, oh, they didn't buy from me. Be pleased and go increase your batting average with your next try. Curious, authentic, and neutral.
And to me, that was the essence for, if nothing else, and there's going to be a lot of good information. Ike, I better edit out that cough later, but there's going to be a lot
it's
of
so
great.
Real, Thomas. It's so real.
We have to be authentic, right? You know, I'm leaving it in. I am not
going to. All right. Authenticity.
But, you know, you start with that curiosity. That's going to lead. If you're a seller and you have that curiosity, you're going to ask more open-ended questions. You're going to try to learn more. You're going to diagnose a lot more of the problem if you can be keeping that curiosity, right? To me, that's such a vital way to starting.
Yes, and there's a whole other conversation that I go through, which again, maybe we can talk about it some other time. The question is, who are you being when you go into your appointment? Are you being someone who is in there doing salesperson? Or are you in there being a fellow human being on a discovery where you're actually working hard to find out whether or not this person even has a need for what you want? If you've done your pre-qualification, they probably, you know, there's some inkling, but again, you have to remember there's a reason that they've agreed to talk to you. And if you can remain curious, authentic, and neutral, think like a doctor and elicit their concerns, you'll know within a couple of minutes whether or not there's a fit. And you even get to say that to them when you walk in. You go, look, I like to think that everybody needs what I provide, but you know, I don't have enough information yet about your situation. So, you know, let's have a conversation, and within a few minutes, we'll both know whether or not there's a reason to move forward.
Hey, listeners, it's Kelly Bloomer here to tell you the show is brought to you by Bloomer Associates. If you visit our website found in your show notes, you'll find we offer sales training, talent assessment for hiring and team development, and individual coaching for sales pros and managers. We bring over 30 years in media sales and leadership experience. If you enjoy listening to Okay, Boomer, Teach Me Sales, ask how our team can work with your sales team for virtual meetings, roundtables, and motivational seminars. You can contact us through our website or call today, 919-267-9871. Now back to our show.
Hi, this is Brian from Boston. Okay, Boomer, Teach Me Sales.
So I first, before we get started, I got to ask you, you brought up Glengarry, Glenn Ross, one of my favorite sales movies. I have another all-time favorite that very few people ever talk about, but it was so important to me back in the day selling. Tin Men.
Oh, yes. Danny DeVito. Was it Danny DeVito and Richard Dreyfuss?
Yeah, those were the two central characters.
Absolutely. Never seen it.
Very good. They did a bit, and I loved it. I did a whole training session around it. And unfortunately, it's probably what gives sales a bad name. But do you remember the Life magazine bit?
No.
It's one of my favorite bits of all time. So
tell me.
They're having a tough day, and Richard Dreyfuss says to Danny DeVito or something, you know, let's do the Life magazine thing. That always cheers me up. So the movie's set back in, I don't know, the late 40s or 50s. Aluminum siding is exploding. So they pull up in front of this home that doesn't have aluminum siding, and they put up all this photography equipment, and they're taking as if they're doing a shot of the home. And they're patiently waiting for the housewife to come out, which she ultimately does. She comes out and she says, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, well, we're doing a front cover, huge story for Life magazine. And we need a home to be the before photo. And she says, what do you mean the before? Well, look at your, you know, you don't have the beautiful aluminum siding that's out there. The story's on aluminum siding. We're trying to show what a home looks like before it gets aluminum siding. And you know, this was back when Life magazine was the magazine, right? And she's like, well, I want to be on the cover of Life magazine. Can't we be the after? And they're like, well, maybe if you had aluminum siding. And then Richard Dreyfuss looks just, could we even get that done quick enough for them? And they're aluminum siding salesmen. The end of the day, they come back, they meet with her husband. The husband's frowning over the cost of aluminum siding, and the wife looks at him and says, but honey, it's Life magazine. And to me, that was, you know, getting your prospect to be so excited about what you can offer and the value, then price is immaterial at that point, right? The husband had no choice. His wife wanted to be in Life magazine. The purchase was done, and that's one of my favorite clips.
No ever. Buyer's remorse there.
Well, maybe when they actually weren't on Life magazine cover, but we never get to see that part. But
well, one of the other mutually beneficial agreements of the system is also contained in the S4 formula, and that's it's called quick selling, and the I is there a budget? Excuse me.
I'm not going to edit that
one. How real? And it's meant again to remind you, the salesperson, that this is a question that could be asked, because once you've set up your agreements, you want to be able to say to them, and you know, there probably is going to come a time when, after we find out what your issue is, where we're going to have to at least discuss ballpark what type of dollars you have set aside to make this happen. And I just want to make sure when we get to that point, you'll be comfortable in sharing that information. Once again, just ballpark. And you get that agreement from them up in the beginning, because what that does is, once you've then gone through your doctor's appointment, you're able to say to them, well, this is what I see you need. This is what I see you need. And this is what I see you need. Remember, I mentioned we have to talk about budget while we're there. What type of dollars have you set aside in order to make this happen? And They tell you. Because at that point, after doing the discovery, the diagnostics, they're at that point where maybe not where the woman was about, but honey, it's Life magazine. Because they have said it themselves. They have told you why they need it and what the value is. And one of your questions is, well, what will happen if you just, you know, don't get this? I mean, how would that affect your life and everything? And allow them to talk, because it, and this is to me one of the most important tips that I can offer. And that is, when you say it, it's selling. When they say it, it's true. So
say that again. That's I love
you
that.
Say it, it's selling. When they say it, it's true. Because no matter what you say, no matter how much of a problem solving navigator you are, when it comes out of your mouth, it's coming from someone else. But if you ask, well, why would you even want this? And they go, because of da da da. That's the truth. And once that's why it's so important to get information rather than give it. Because if you ask a curious, authentic question, once people realize that you're there to solve their problem and not yours, their defenses drop. And instead of zapping back at you every time you say something, you're going, yeah, yeah, well, what do you got? Just show me. You've already told them, look, you know, you've told me that these are the issues you're facing. And they go, yeah, I really am. And they either have the budget or they don't. But each step along the way, you're just trying to get out of there rather than causing someone to buy. And again, they'll trust you in the future.
And to me, that approach, you're the whole time they're talking and they're giving you their pain points, their solution, their diagnosis, you're building up respect and trust with them the more speaking that they're doing. You know, they're just feeling, as you're listening and you're taking in what they're saying, you're building up a respect and a trust. And then they're going to want to share with you their budget because they're hoping that you're going to have a solution for them. So, you know, that's such an important part of it. And to me, it's so many people think selling is just finding out what the client needs. You got to find out what they need. You got to find out what they want. And you better find out what they can afford.
And what type of time frame they need to make it happen. And, you know, what else have they tried? What went wrong with that you're looking for a new product right now? You know, to be able to have that flexibility, to be able to move and ask the right question, that's where the practice comes in. I have lists and lists of open-ended questions in the action guide. And I've had some of my clients, as a matter of fact, a lot of them, just tape it up on front of the wall when they're doing either phone calling, or I'm going to let out one of the secrets of the system. One of the things that you do is when you get in and talk to a prospect, you ask permission to take notes. Not only is the request usually accepted, but one of the things that I tell people to do is take in what I call the quick sheet, which has everything that you've researched and thought of before you went in there in your notes, including the questions you want to ask. And when they tell you what one of their issues or problems are, you jot it down. And you have everything right in front of you, including a reminder that says, here's the order you're supposed to go in. And it's on a piece of paper the size of a napkin, because you just want to stay on track and maintain your outcome. And if you're clear when you go in that your goal was to disqualify them if they're not a sale, once you get past that, you follow through with the system. And as with every good at bat, you're going to hit a home run or not. This system is designed to work 100% of the time, and it doesn't, but it will increase your close ratio. And I'm really not only confident in it, but you know, when you listen to the podcast, you'll hear, as I mentioned, clients from over the years going, yeah, I'm still using it. it's made a big difference with my wife or my husband. And it really is. It's just a fun shift in your language and how you communicate with people. I'm very proud of it.
Good. I would encourage anybody listening right now to sit down and say, have you ever gotten in your car or hung up the phone in your office and suddenly remember, you know, I never asked this. I didn't bring this up. You know, I missed an opportunity. You know, we all are going to second guess. The more prepared you are using a system like that, it's going to take a lot of that second guessing out because they're properly prepared when they start.
Write it down. It's just a note, just something to remind you. I mean, you even say to the prospect, you know, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to refer to my notes. I jot down it a couple things so I wouldn't forget. Be authentic about it. That's exactly why you did it. You're not, you know, you're not play acting. You wrote it down so you could remember it. Say it. I mean, that's where the authenticity.
It also shows you care enough and you're interested to write down some of what they're telling you. You know, it's a great way to get that across.
I know I said it before, but it's easier.
So I get the impression there's an easier way to sell. So
yes, I think that's it. The easier way to sell. Yeah, that's my branding. It's the easier way to sell.
The easier way to sell and to close the deal without selling.
That's the podcast. Yes.
Our listeners have a couple options. One, they can stay tuned and hope we have you on again in a couple months and they get a little bit more. My encouraging to them would be to download your podcast and do what I did, binge listen to about 10 or 12 episodes. You're nice and brief. You're very concise. These aren't 70 minute episodes. You know, you give everybody stuff in bite-sized pieces, which I think is perfect for learning. But I know you're also working on a course and things like that. Can you share the listeners what you have going on with that and how they can reach out to you if they have an interest?
Thank you. First of all, the website is closethedealwithoutselling.com, or you can also reach us at sellandmarketbetter.com. And when you get there, there'll be a link to the podcast, including down at the bottom of the page, a link to your favorite podcast provider, whether it's Apple or Stitcher or Spotify. We're on all of them, and we would love your feedback and comments on those sites. Also, when you get to the website, you'll hear me in one of the little videos talking about the Close the Deal Without Selling Action Guide and Teaching Manual. Now, my mission statement for my consulting business and my company has been to be the cause of effective communication in the world. And as I mentioned before, this whole system is about being a more effective communicator. And I cannot be the cause that I wanted to be all by myself anymore. And I'm looking for people who might be interested as part of their business to teach the easier way to sell. And I've made it super simple for someone to take on that responsibility. If you end up getting our action guide and training manual, you basically are saying, I am considering doing this. And if you start teaching it, all I ask is that each one of your clients also get one of the training manuals from the website. That's it. I really want people to take this on as a more effective way of communicating and make the world a kinder and safer place for salespeople.
Fantastic. I love your message. I love your program that you're putting into place. There are programs people could sign up and spend thousands of dollars that I guarantee them they're not going to get out of what they're going to get out of your action guide and your program there that you put in place. So hopefully a few listeners.
This was depending upon the year, between $4,000 and $6,000 for a 2 or 3 day workshop and then coaching for the exact same material you get for free on the podcast. And there's so much good stuff. And I invite you all to check it out. As they used to say, it couldn't hurt.
We might as well give it a try.
The old college try.
There you go. Ike, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, Tom, before we end today's podcast, do you want to share why you're so excited, especially for our listeners in media sales?
I really would. Kelly, as you know, I've spent over 30 years in media sales. I've worked with startups and three of the largest direct mail advertising companies in the country. And I'm really excited to announce a new course offering from the team here at OK Boomer Teach Me Sales. As you know, Kelly, we talk to sellers practically every day.
Yes, we do, Tom. And they've noticed that 90% of today's decision makers just don't respond to cold calls. They tell us it's so hard to get a small business owner's attention.
It is. And when you do get their attention, it's become even more difficult to book a quality appointment with them. And then when you finally get a chance and you make your presentation, right, it just seems like they're taking longer than ever to make a buying decision. But there is something we can do about that.
Like what?
Well, first, Kelly, if our listeners, if this sounds like your day, then this program has been designed for you. We understand your day and your schedule, the obstacles and objections that you face in media sales. We know the goals you need to hit, as well as the most important part, we know the type of clients that you covet.
Okay, I get that, but how will this really help?
Well, we're going to do several things in this program, Kelly. Number one, we're going to show you a way to get more leads. We're going to help you do effective prospecting, book quality appointments, all the things that are going to help you to open up new business, all while at the same time, we're going to help you build your personal brand.
Okay, that sounds good. But how are you going to help our listeners do that?
Well, that's one of my favorite parts, because the program begins with one-on-one video coaching sessions where we get to sit down and connect with the listeners. You're also going to be receiving a self-paced video instruction module. You're going to get an easy-to-follow training workbook, and you're going to become part of our private community of media sellers where you can share and engage together.
And they get all that for $200?
Well, Kelly, we weren't actually going to tell them the price. Well, since you brought it up, yes, they're going to get all. That's okay. They are going to get all that for only $200. The video one-on-one sessions are worth that all by themselves. So we're really excited about that.
Okay, sounds good. So, Tom, how do our listeners register for this today?
Well, the program is called Social Selling for Ad Sales Pros. You can message me on LinkedIn. You can visit our website for more information and contact us that way, or simply call 919-267-9871. We look forward to seeing you as part of this program.
So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week, and don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure, the website, okboomerteachmesales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn at Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.